And it's Remembrance Sunday, so we're taking a break in our sermon series. We came to the end of the short series looking at 1 Corinthians, and from next week, as we run up to Christmas, we're going to start looking at Luke's Gospel, starting at chapter 1. That'll be a series that will eventually, with a few breaks in it, quite a few breaks in it, will eventually take us all the way through Luke's Gospel. But for now, we're thinking about remembrance today, and we're going to look at this passage, Isaiah 53, to help us. Well, we often talk about our soldiers having made the ultimate sacrifice, don't we? That is, the worst thing has happened to them. They've died for our peace and safety. And that's what we give thanks for, and that's what we remember today with Remembrance Sunday. I googled sacrifice just to see what the internet made of it, and I never realised there were so many sites giving definitions on the internet. How exciting. Hundreds and hundreds of them telling me what the definition of sacrifice was. And amongst them, nestled a news story, a rather sad news story from just a few days ago. I'll read the headline. Family performed a lamb sacrifice to protect a man from evil and harm days before he died in a car crash. Bizarre. Family performed a lamb sacrifice to protect a man from evil and harm days before he died in a car crash. The poor guy died in a car crash. And the family had done this strange ritual, a lamb sacrifice, thinking that this would protect him. A lamb sacrifice for protection? Did it work? Was it effective? Was the sacrifice worth it? Obviously not. It was a waste of time. It was pointless. Is a sacrifice worth it? It's a good question, isn't it? And as we remember today the ultimate sacrifice made by many for us in war, it's a question we sometimes ask. We're waiting for the Chilcot report to come out, aren't we, on the Iraq war. Many families and colleagues and friends of those who died are asking about the Iraq war. Was it all worth it? This Bible passage, Isaiah 53, describes another ultimate sacrifice. The sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross. The Bible passage itself was a prophecy written hundreds of years before Jesus died, looking forward to what the Messiah would do. And we might look at the cross and we might ask the same question. Was it all worth it? Or was it just some terrible waste of life? A man dying, another man, another woman's son, another brother, killed in the prime of life, all for nothing. Or was it worth it? How can we tell? I'm going to suggest three tests to see if a sacrifice is worth it. So the first test is this: a real danger. A real danger. Is there a real danger that confronts us? Something terrible that's going to happen unless it's stopped, unless we're rescued in some way? Is there a real danger? With any kind of conflict, that's an important question. It can be a difficult question. Perhaps it can't always be answered in black and white. And we remember today the people of our armed forces who have died confronting real dangers for us. Not just for us, but for our neighbours in countries around the world. Is there a real danger? It's a question we can ask of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice as well. What was the danger? Well, it's loud and clear in this passage. Verse 5 talks of our transgressions. Over the page. Our iniquities. God's punishment. And then verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Have you seen the sheep in the Lake District? Or in Wales on the hillsides? When the farmers are out on their quad bikes, the sheep will follow them and go in the right way. But when the shepherd or the farmer's gone, they scatter, don't they, all over the fields and all over the hillsides. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. It's not very flattering, is it? We are like sheep. That's the danger, the real danger. We've gone our way, not God's. He's told us how he wants us to live in his creation. And we've ignored him. We've rejected what he wants. We've said that we know best, not him. We'll live our lives our way. Thank you very much. Which is fine if there's no God, or if God isn't bothered, or if God isn't a God of justice. If there's no God, well, there's no problem, is it? We can make up our own morals. We can do what we like, and they can be different for everyone, and it really doesn't matter. If there is a God, but he's not bothered, well, that would be fine as well, because we break his law, and he's not going to do anything about it. It's no problem. It'd be like a world without speed cameras. Think of that. What if there is a God, but he isn't a God of justice? Well, again, we're fine, aren't we? Because we'll never have to stand before him and give an account for our lives. No justice, we can get away with anything. But there is a God. He's made himself known, and his will, and his ways, through the Bible and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a God who's bothered. He cares for his world enormously, and what we do in it and with it. And he's a God of justice. And we will all be called to account for the way we've lived before him. Is there a real danger? Oh yes. We've gone our way and not God's. And we're in trouble. So is the sacrifice worth it? Well, test one, is there a real danger? And Jesus' sacrifice passes that test. Test two. A powerful act. Is there, in the sacrifice, to make it worth it, a powerful act of self-giving that deals with the danger? Is there a powerful act of self-giving that deals with the danger? That's what a sacrifice should be, isn't it? Something strong and powerful that sorts out the problem, that rescues us. So to see if a sacrifice is worth it, there needs to be powerful act. Well, our armed forces have done this again and again, haven't they? Sometimes it seemed more appropriate and justified than others. But today, we remember the people who have fought for us in two world wars and in other conflicts. We remember what they've achieved as individuals and together. Powerful acts dealing with danger, bringing us and others peace and safety most of the time. Something to remember and give thanks to God for. What about the cross? Was that a powerful act of self-giving that deals with the danger? Well, let's look again at this prophecy in Isaiah 53. Let me read verse 4 again. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those words, transgressions and iniquities, are words for us rebelling against God and going our way and not his. It's very clear in this prophecy, isn't it, that this death was not just an accident, a tragedy. Jesus was going to war on sin. And to win the battle, the strategy was simple. He had to die. We deserve God's punishment. But by dying this death, Jesus could take that punishment on himself and away from us. So just listen again to how he does that. Taking the punishment on himself and away from us. Verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed, saved. Jesus' death on the cross was a powerful act. A powerful act of self-giving that deals with the danger. the real danger of our rebellion against God. Now that is something to remember, isn't it? But it is different to the work of our armed forces. You see, we all benefit from what we remember today on Remembrance Sunday. We benefit from all of that automatically. You just have to live here, and it's yours. In fact, you could live in lots of other places too and benefit from it. The British Armed Forces are currently serving in over 80 countries worldwide. You just have to be there, and you benefit from it. But with Jesus and his death on the cross, there is an opt-in clause. An opt-in clause. You've seen these on websites, I hope. If you go on a website, you sign up for an account, you're going to buy something. There are check boxes, aren't there, to get the newsletter and things like that. And European law says that those check boxes must be empty. That is, you actually have to opt in. You have to make a choice and do it deliberately to get any email or anything like that that the website would send you. If you just sign up for an account to buy something, they're not allowed to send you anything except for the receipt. You have to tick the checkbox. You have to opt in before they can. Well, that's the law. And with Jesus' death on the cross, there is an opt-in clause. God's checkbox for you is empty. He presents it to you. He wants you to click it, as it were, and put that tick in there. But he won't force it on you. And until you do check that checkbox by turning your life around and trusting in Jesus, until you tick that box, God's powerful act of self-giving, Jesus' powerful act of self-giving, isn't yet yours. You don't just get it by living here. You get it by coming to church. You might have come to church for 50 years. You might not have ticked the checkbox. You need to turn around and believe and make Jesus Lord of your life. And then you will receive for free what Jesus has done on the cross, that powerful act. So, two tests down, and it's beginning to look like Jesus' ultimate sacrifice really was worth it. One test to go. So, is it worth it? Test one, a real danger. Yes, God's punishment for our rebellion, that is a real danger. Test two, a powerful act. Yes, Jesus died on the cross in our place, and we have to receive that. Test three is evidence of success. Evidence of success. A real danger, a powerful act, and evidence of success. We need to know that it really worked. We need to know that the real danger was really dealt with. That we can be rescued from that real danger by the powerful act. The sacrifice. Evidence of success is needed. And the very fact that we can stand here and celebrate Remembrance Sunday together freely is evidence of the success of our armed forces. We're not living in a fascist dictatorship speaking in a foreign language. Today we remember and we give thanks to God for the sacrifice that many have made so that we can have this freedom, this security. That's evidence of success. Where is the evidence of success for Jesus? Well, let's go back to the passage one last time. Have a look at verse 10, further down the page. Verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. It speaks, doesn't it, of Jesus' resurrection. This is the evidence for the success of the sacrifice. After he has suffered, in other words, died, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. The gospel books in the Bible give us the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus, the eyewitness accounts, people who saw him alive again. And we're told in another New Testament book that Jesus was seen alive at one time by over 500 people, most of whom were still alive when the book was written. So if you'd have been there and read that book, you could have gone and found them and listened to their testimony and checked it out. Jesus is alive. It proves that his sacrifice worked. It wasn't just a tragedy. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a dreadful end. It was God's war on sin, God's strategy, and Jesus' gift, his self-giving, powerful act that dealt with the real danger of yours and my rebellion against God, the punishment that you and I deserve. How wonderful is that? No wonder we still remember it and celebrate it 2,000 years on. Was it worth it? Sacrificing a lamb for the protection of a man driving a car certainly wasn't. But Jesus' death was. Test one, a real danger. Yes, our rejection of God and God's justice that will follow that. Test two, a powerful act. Yes, Jesus' death on the cross, the self-giving sacrifice that deals with the danger completely. Test three, evidence of success. Yes, Jesus is risen from death. He is alive. Remember that checkbox I mentioned earlier? God's opt-in policy? Have you checked the box? Have you ticked it? If yes, if you have, well, rejoice in all that Jesus has done for you. Remember it. Keep it at the center of your life. And long that others would hear. We're surrounded, streets full of people who haven't heard of this, who don't even think Jesus existed, and missing out on that great sacrifice for them. Maybe you haven't checked the box. Or perhaps looking at this passage has stirred an interest in you. Follow that up. Don't just leave it. Follow it up. Come to our Christianity Explore course. Come and hear what you may have heard hundreds of times before, but hear it again and think again about who Jesus is and all he's done for you. Take that little booklet, Journey into Life. It's been sitting there for however long you've come here. Have a read. Have a think. And turn around, trust in Jesus, and tick that box for yourself. Let's pray.